Hello, everybody. Jim Hackett, Pete Davidson back at it. We are now, this will be the second of three in a row and four of our five and five in like 10 days, Pete, of podcasts for the NFL draft, which is Thursday. It's creeping up. I'm getting a little excited. Finally, it's been years since the Patriots have had some skin in the game, but with four picks in the first 63 in the first two rounds, exciting stuff, and you're getting a lot of rumors, and that's the kind of the fun stuff. And the position we're going to hit today is the running backs, of which there's a lot of fun stuff to talk about, so it's good.
No doubt.
As we creep closer, it gets more fun.
Yeah, I've had enough of rumors. I don't know. That stuff is just like reality TV for me, but man, this running back class.
It's good.
I could watch the top 15 guys, or no, top 17 or 18 guys. I could just watch them all day.
Yeah.
My latest guy that I've sort of fallen in love with is this kid, Philip Lindsay from Colorado. Man, he is just a joy to watch. And as I say in the article that's going up on EEI, probably before this podcast does, he'd look really good in a Patriot uniform.
Well, it's kind of old school, this class, right? I mean, because you know the running backs, the league was centered around running backs the first, you know, two thirds of my life, and it has changed officially, but it swings around. I always go back to Belichick with this stuff, and I talk about the first part, the first year of the kickoff of the dynasty when the league was all doing 4-3, he said, okay, I'll do 3-4, and I'll get the best of that lot. And when everyone was going with the alpha receivers, and he didn't want to spend the money on one of those, I'll go for two tight ends. And then when everyone starts grouping up on tight ends, and I'll go heavy on slot receiver. And then I'll go running back committee, and I'll use them out of the backfield. And he just keeps moving it. So maybe we're seeing a little bit of a shift back to running back. I know the position's evolving, and these skill players have to evolve with the game to stay relevant. And it looks like with a healthy class like this that we might see a little influx of talent at the running back and a little bit maybe more focus on it as the position evolves. No, all that, nothing.
Not really. Great running back class, but yeah. I don't think there's any stopping the NFL in terms of where it's going. It's a throwing league. It's becoming more and more of a throwing league. I think all the head injuries and I said that almost like it's an annoyance. It's not. It's a reality and yeah. Something we have to pay attention
but
to.
But these guys got to learn how to pass protect and block down the field and catch the ball. And they've adapted. And a lot of these guys can, it looks like.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think. We're not going back to the old NFL.
No, I know that. I'm not saying that.
That's not happening.
I'm not saying it's Jim Brown, but I'm saying that these guys,
well,
you know.
Jim Brown would have. I think he's the best running back if he steps on the field today. He would just catch more balls and kill you that way. There are some old school guys in this class, but there's a lot of forward guys in this class, too. And I tell you what, I think if the Patriots want to reload at the Deion Lewis position.
Yeah.
They're going to have a couple chances to do it if they want to. I mean, as you and I have said many times, you're not going to make money trying to outthink Belichick, trying to beat him to the spot. But if they want a guy who can sort of do a lot of Deion stuff, there's three or four of them in this draft that might be available. Maybe with those six rounders that they've got.
Very unique skill set on him, you know, and very unique talent, hard to replicate. But there are some guys, some wiggle guys out there and that can catch the ball and do some different stuff. Now, the Pats look pretty good in their backfield. I am not a Jeremy Hill fan. I know that's not going to surprise you. You aren't either, I don't think.
No, I am. I just think he's a guy who...
He got a little lazy last couple of years to me.
I think he's a guy who needs to... I don't think his early success was handled well by him. Then maybe that's the best way I can put it. If Jeremy Hill's got his head on right, he's in good shape, and he's playing hard, I still think he could be a good back in the NFL. But
we're excited about him coming out his rookie year.
I thought he was underrated coming into the league. Yeah. He had baggage. He was one of those guys we knew had some stuff from the neck up, but he came in and worked his tail off his rookie year, and he did really well. He's the guy, you know, he had a three-down skill set if he wanted to develop it, and it didn't really happen. He sort of... I don't know. To me, he struck me as a guy who started Cadillacing once he
kind of became a plotter.
He made it.
Yeah,
you know. But hey, Patriots, I think, is dream landing spot for him if he can find his way back. To working hard and grinding it out. Who knows? I think he conceivably could do great things as a Patriot, and I think he could conceivably not make the team. So,
yeah,
you know, we'll just have to see how it goes. It, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like it's him versus Gillisley for a roster spot.
Well, the two guys, I think Rex Burkhead and James White are rock solid, right? And then later in the draft, when they've got like 6th, 7th round, and there's a lot of talent in this running back class, that maybe they address something and bring a little competition in. But you're right. I don't think they're going to keep Hill and Gillisley. You know what I mean? So there's some competition there.
I don't think so. I mean,
they might, but I don't think so either.
But there's definitely I can barely pronounce his first name, but Nyheim Hines out of NC State. I think he'll go a lot earlier than the Patriots want to spend. Mm. So I don't, you know, he'd be an amazing replacement for Lewis. But I don't think they're going to be able to afford him. You know, Ronald Jones could also maybe fill in that role. But again, I don't think they're going to want to pay those prices. Mark Walton would be a potential fit there, and he could slip. But I don't think Walton is a Belichick kind of player, even though he's, you know, 202 and a heck of a receiver. Mm. The guy I'd love to see is Akron Wadley out of Iowa, who could slip. Mm. And he's sort of got that Deion Lewis thing where he's got the heart of an inside runner, but he's got major quicks and passing game chops where, I mean, he'd be a tremendous replacement if the value was right.
Well, two things on that. Okay, you mentioned a couple of things. The guy at the top you mentioned, NC State, Hines, they must have had a heck of a backfield last year, because the guy I really like in this class, and we talked about him a little bit yesterday, is Jalen Samuels out of NC State.
Yeah.
And he kind of smells like Patriot-like to me, and he's also in that same tier.
Patriot City. Well, I've got him actually in the next tier.
Yeah, that's tier four, right?
And Yeah,
and just mentioned that Akron Wadley guy. He's in that same tier, so a lot to get to.
Yeah, Samuels is a big back, and the thing with him is I don't even know if he's a back. You know, interesting thing about Jalen Samuels, now he's got basically a running back in college, although he did a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
But he's got the tight end distinction at the combine. I'm wondering, I guess maybe that was his idea or his agent's idea. I'm not sure. But it might be a little bit of an indication as to where we're going in the future, where a lot of these guys, if you can play running back in another position, you want to be the other position.
Yeah.
Because you just have a better career in the NFL. You know, if you can catch 60 balls instead of running it 190 times, most people will take the 60 receptions, you know, all day. So, you know, maybe he's the guy who doesn't want to be pigeonholed as a running back because of the way it's the whole CBA and the whole paradigm works against running backs these days.
Yeah, for the money, right? He wants to give himself some versatility, and that's why always go back to the Patriots, because they love those versatile guys.
If he ends up being a joker tight end, then he can have, you know, a long career.
Yeah.
You know, if he's a running back getting 200 carries a year, he's done before he's 30.
Yeah.
So I'm just guessing at this, but it's interesting. He might not, you know, it might not be him getting pigeonholed so much as him wanting to be pigeonholed or something like that.
But his skill set kind of reminds me of like a Keith Byers type, right? Who had the big frame, but was definitely more of a threat catching the ball out of the backfield than he was running it.
Yeah,
big frame though.
Yeah,
running back frame.
I think he's more versatile than Byers. Mm. I sort of hate Byers personally, but I mean, I could, you know.
He was pretty good, though, production-wise.
I just personally hate him.
Well, so, why?
Because he fumbled for the Jets in the championship game.
Okay, now we're getting it. Okay.
Curtis Martin, Keith Byers, dead to me. I was slow rolling.
Byers is pretty good.
I don't hate
ourselves.
Keith Byers. I just despise him.
You're good for the tuna here in New England. But.
Yeah. No, look, Byers was a very good football player. And the irony is the guy fumbled like once every other year, but of course, it's for the Jets in the championship game. Testaverde fumbled. Byers fumbled. Curtis Martin fumbled. It's just, you know.
Ray Lucas.
Oh, God. Just don't even get me started. But this is just a
fun class.
Insanely deep running back class. It's so good. And, you know, another guy who I think you may have pre-read the column that's going to be going up on EEI soon.
Some of it.
But one of my favorite guys who I just got to a couple weeks ago is this kid, Boston Scott.
Yeah.
And I said it'd be interesting to hear the announcer say, New England hands off to Boston, you know, for a first down. This kid's got a little special to him, and nobody's talking about him. And maybe there's a reason. Maybe if I was able to get 20 of his college games on film, I'd be able to pick out some warts that the NFL will find. But boy, in the 10 minutes or so I was able to to get a look at him, I was really impressed. And he's one of these
5'6" kind of strikes me though. 5'6",
but he's over 200.
Yeah.
And he's got incredible agility, burst, some nice vision. He can catch the football. Very interesting player. I really hope that he gets a shot because he's fun to watch.
5'6". If I get in a pickup basketball game with him, I'm still playing center in that team.
You like that, don't you? let's rather than just buzz around, which is my fault. I'd started it.
No.
Let's start at the top with tier one, which is a one man tier.
Yeah, and you know what?
And that's Barkley.
Yeah, and Saquon Barkley. But not only is he a one in terms of tiering the running backs from a fantasy football perspective, but he's right at the top of the draft. If you listen to the quote unquote pundits, but he's the skills are merited. He's got the size. He's got the whole package, and he's in his own tier by himself. And I think no more need to be said other than what he brings, right?
Well, there's a huge kerfuffle on in the Twitter sphere and in other places. With the fantasy football people and the draftniks and the analytical folks where, you just don't use first-round picks or high first-round picks on running backs. And they're wrong. I'm not going to be polite on this one. They're just not right. They're wrong. It's not true. You can use a high pick on a running back and be smart. But it's a narrow window to find that type of player. Saquon Barkley's not a running back. He's a football player. It's important that people look at him that way. If you sit there and try to put two letters next to his name and then say, nope, he's this, he's defined by these two letters,
you're missing it.
You're missing the boat. When analytics folks and, not necessarily just analytics folks, but it tends to be them for the most part, say, running backs, they're redundant. There's so many of them. They're devalued. Well, first of all, you and I have been saying the same thing on this podcast for like 5 years. So, first of all, welcome to the party.
Yep.
Second of all, be careful on which running backs you're talking about. Now, if you're talking about Leonard Fournette going too early last year, I am 100% with you. I will strike up the band and sing your song.
Yep.
Okay,
I would agree.
100% correct, because he's nothing but a traditional running back and a darn good one.
Yep.
Okay,
on a team that needed one with a questionable quarterback, so it made sense. However,
no, it didn't make sense. It was too damn soon. They should not have taken Leonard Fournette. It was a bad pick.
When did they take him? Was like the fourth?
I want to say he was eighth overall.
Yeah, I was going to say
that's just off the top of my head.
Somewhere between 4 and 10. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense taking a conventional running back high in the NFL draft because of the way the game is moving, but then also because of the market itself. It's too easy to get a good running back. Yeah. Look what Carlos Hyde just got in free agency.
Well, look at the Patriots. Rex Burkhead was fourth on the Bengals depth chart last year, and everyone said he's
third.
They had you got to factor in the third down back, too, who they give the juice to a lot there. His name's escaping me right now.
Well, they had Hill, they had Geo, and they had Burkhead.
Yeah, but the rookie, too.
Well, he was gone before the rookie came in.
Okay.
He was a Patriot, I think, before the rookie came in.
Okay.
Burkhead's a good example. Look what he did for the Pats last year, and there's still no market for him.
Right.
Like, the NFL saw what the Patriots did, still unconvinced. Nope, we never liked this guy. We don't care how good
the they thought he was a short yardage guy and a special teams guy. And we're like, no. Right. He can line up in the slot. You can line him outside, for heaven's sake. So,
right, and he's better than most goal line backs in the league.
Yeah.
Rexy does it all. I love that guy.
Yep.
So, but he's a perfect example of what folks are talking about in that there's just a lot of running backs out there, and the market for them in terms of money, it's just not there.
Yep.
So Fournette, to me, perfect example of that. You can even make an argument on Zeke Elliott because he is not the dynamic type of player that Barkley is. But when you're talking about a guy like Barkley, or like if you put David Johnson back into the draft, Johnson came from a small school. There were other reasons that he slipped. Although if you go back and read our scouting report on him, Hacksaw, we had it. We knew David Johnson was going to be great.
Yeah.
Other people didn't.
Man, well, I drafted him first. But
Saquon Barkley is like David Johnson, where he you take out the whiteboard with your playbook and go, wow, we can do anything with this guy. Mm. He can play X. He can play slot. He can line up in the backfield. He is a complete – you put that guy in the huddle and the defense doesn't know who he is.
Yeah, he's a real weapon.
huge weapon, and he creates matchup problems, and he makes your team better, and he's not replace. You can't go to the big pile of running backs in free agency and replace David Johnson,
right,
if you're using his full skill set, and you can't do it with Saquon Barkley. So do not throw players like them in the pile with guys like Fournette or even Gurley or even. Well, I'm not.
Yeah, Gurley was a much more traditional running back style guy when he came out. I mean, he showed more last year.
But not like this guy.
Yeah.
Not like David Johnson. He's a conventional receiving running back. You get him the ball in space and he can do some wonderful things.
Yep.
But we're talking about guys who can break formation and literally play another position.
Yeah.
It's a special talent. Not that many running backs have it. And when you've got a traditional three down skill set as a runner and you can literally just play another position, that brings so much added value if, you know, assuming you have an offensive coordinator who can scheme that, right? Some guys, I mean, we know that there's some dinosaur teams out there who just don't want to change. You know what? They're going to be losers for the most part. Who cares about them?
Yeah.
But the teams that really have their stuff together, you know, offensive coordinators like, you know, the Belichick-McDaniels combination, like Bruce Arians, like Sean Payton. These guys know how to use talented players like these, and they're special, and it's wrong to put them in that RB basket. They have their own special basket, and they should be valued as such.
I agree with you, and that's kind of where I was going when at the top I said, you know, in terms of relevance, because there are guys coming out that can do more things, and they have to, right? But this guy's so different, and by the way, just going back to traditional stuff, and I know the league, right, and we're moving on from that. By the way, the Giants could use a running back.
Yeah.
So not only do they get all this other stuff with this, and by the way, if you've got Odell Beckham Jr. on the field as well. Triple wow.
And Evan Ingram.
Yeah, another guy to think of, right? So just offensively, schematically, and trying to match up against that team, it makes sense. But I don't think people are thinking about it in the full context like you just explained.
I think that's correct. Now, are the Giants a team that will use Barkley's full skill set? I don't know. Mm. So if they choose him, I don't know if it's a good pick until I actually see them utilize the player.
Right.
If they, you know, if the Giants take Saquon Barkley and use him as a stud running back / stud slot receiver / guy who can go line up outside for you and just create matchup nightmares for a defense,
yep,
I think they could return decent value on the pick. Now, we talked the other day, and I don't think they should take him at 2, because at the bare minimum, they should be able to flip with the Jets and make a little profit there.
Yeah.
So if Barkley's what they want, at the bare minimum, they should be flipping with the Jets. But, you know, whatever. My thing with the Giants is, let me see what they do before I kill them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Fair.
I think a lot of people are making a lot of good points, but they haven't done it yet. So let's at least give them the opportunity to screw up before we dig their grave.
Yeah. And I think we talked a little bit, too, about positioning, right? I mean, Cleveland has 2 picks at the top, including the top.
And that's where the Giants are sort of in a pickle.
Posturing a little.
Right, because they can't move to 5 because of Cleveland.
Right.
If they're committed to taking Barkley, they can't move back past Cleveland.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I keep going back to that thing with the Jets. Or, you know, if you're the Jets and the Giants call you and you hang up the phone, I mean, you're an idiot, because the Giants can call any number of teams.
Yeah.
You know, if you sit there and tell the Giants, nah, we're not going to give you a little something to swap, and then the Bills move up in front and take your guy, and then you're taking a guy you don't like as much.
Yeah.
After giving up 3 second rounders just for the right to move up a couple spots.
So stupid.
It's Pennywise, pound moronic.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was Pennywise, potentially Pennywise, pound moronic to do it anyway, if it's not going to be if they don't have a specific guy that they're targeting. If it's just kind of like malleable, then it's just a dumb move.
Like as I said at the time, if the Jets don't love 3 quarterbacks, they took a big risk.
Yes, they did.
If they only love 2, they took a big risk. You know, hey, we'll see how it plays out.
And you got to know your division.
My fork is ready. I am ready to kill the Jets. but again, I have to let it play out first.
It's so fun to think about. But you know, but like,
oh,
also,
yeah, it's a blast.
But also, know your division. I mean, you know, the Patriots are going to be very active. They've been dominating you for so long, and they've got a lot of draft capital, and they got a lot of holes. They're going to be active. You're going to be ready. And so maybe it was a reactionary move. Maybe the Jets, you know, they think it's a proactive move, but they better be ready. They better know what they want. That's the thing.
I think giving up, you know, that much draft capital to move up for the quarterback when you're in the division with the Patriots is perhaps short-sighted. But by the same token, if they're doing it because they've got a quarterback, if they're doing it because they have three quarterbacks on their board that can change, you know, the whole trajectory of the franchise, I can't knock it too much. But man, if you miss and Belichick hangs around for another 6 years,
yep,
you can fold up your tent for a while.
Yeah.
So, you know, you better be right.
Yep. Yeah.
Better be right.
It's going to be fascinating. All right, let's move down the...
This is going to be a fun draft in that regard.
It really is. And, I mean, in so many ways.
It starts right from the tip-off, right? I mean, Cleveland's just... who knows what the
dumbest,
heck those
dumbest organization you have, maybe in sports.
And they have all the chips.
I know.
It's like you walk into the World
Series... And the worst coach.
It's like you walk into the World Series of poker, and Alfred E. Newman is there with all the chips.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is going to be interesting.
Want some? Yeah. I mean, really, it's a fascinating start to the draft and right through the whole thing, actually. But the first couple of days are going to be really interesting. So
yeah, well, just the first round, because you have so many people with multiple picks who need quarterbacks...
Mm.
I mean, it's going to be wild because teams have the ammo to do so many different things. And I think, you know, the Patriots are like the elephant in the room. I think just the specter of Belichick there with extra ammo and a need at quarterback could cause other teams to overthink things, panic, pay too much, move up maybe even when they don't need to, that kind of thing. Mm. So it's... I mean, it's compelling theater.
Yeah, really yeah. Is. No, there's gonna be plenty to dive into, and let's get a little deeper into this position, Pete. But move off of Barkley,
awesome, yeah, tremendous, everything and, we already said,
but everything he can do, you know what I mean. But one of the things I want to say about, like, you know, literally like the next like 10 guys, they're all under 6 foot. You notice that? Looks like 15 guys. They're all 5'10", 5'11", every one of them.
Yeah. I mean,
except a couple that are smaller.
A couple of them are right there at 6 foot. I mean, just I round up or down just based on traditional math. So if a guy's 5'11.4", I round him down to 5'11".
Yeah.
Because putting 5'11.4 in a written article just doesn't look very good.
No.
So, you know, Royce Freeman's between 5'11 and 6 foot. Kerryon Johnson's between 5'11 and 6 foot.
Mm. And Freeman's big. I mean, he's almost 230. Yeah.
Freeman's a beast, man.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Royce. I think Royce has got some game. And it was nice to see him rip up the combine, and now all of a sudden he's got a lot of fans, which is nice.
That happens after the combine, yeah.
And Hines is another one of these running backs who can be pretty much whatever you want him to be, with the exception of... like a short yardage back, a volume running back. But I would love to see him land on a team that's got a Isaiah Crowell, LeGarrette Blount kind of early down guy where he can sort of share early down work and have all the passing down work. He could be, I mean, I doubt this happens, but he's got the talent to be a fringe RB1 in PPR fantasy leagues if he happens to get the right spot. I mean, he could have a Kamara kind of impact.
Ooh,
in the right spot. Now, he's not going to get it because Kamara already got that
He
spot.
Got that gig, yeah.
I mean, the Saints gig with that coach and that quarterback.
Yeah, and that skill set.
It doesn't get any better for that style of running back. Mm. Like, if you put David Johnson on the Saints.
Now forget about it.
God, shield your eyes.
Yep.
But Hines has got that type of skill set. Mm. But anyway, let's look at the second tier with Geis, Chubb, and Michelle.
Yeah, these guys get a lot of pub, you know, heading into the draft. So
these
this
are
is tier
RB1,
two.
Yeah, RB1 caliber guys. Unfortunately, there's a rumor now sort of floating around. I didn't put it in the article just because, you know what, it's a rumor, and until I hear it from a really good source, and until I hear the actual specific injury that might be there, I don't want to say anything bad about Sony Michel, but there's a rumor floating around that he could slip due to injury concerns.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's just a rumor and he is just fine, because I'm a big fan of Sony. But Geis, Chubb, and Michel, big time backs.
Yeah.
You could probably order these guys however you like. For me, Geis has been relatively healthy. He's relatively low mileage. And I think his passing down abilities are really underrated, particularly because he's a good blocker and he plays with a lot of attitude.
He can stay on the field.
Yeah, this is not a guy who, he's not a diva. This is a guy who doesn't mind rolling up his sleeves and playing tough football. You know, in the glue areas.
Mm.
He's a team player. And I think he's going to be a good one. Chubb would be like neck and neck with Barkley if he had more receiving stuff on film,
yeah,
and if he didn't have the whopper of a knee injury 3 years ago. The knee injury he had was bad, and the way he's come back is a testament, A, to how hard he works, and B, to what an amazing athlete he is, because this guy damaged 3 out of 4 ligaments.
Yeah.
And he had 3 out of 4 replaced.
Yeah, no joke.
I mean, that's amazing that he's running the way he's running. But now he's done it for 2 years, so, I mean, I don't think it's fair to peg him down that much for the injury, because he's proven that he's back.
Yeah.
He's not...
And we've seen people come back many, many times. He's far enough removed that maybe he's okay.
I don't know how many times we've seen a player come back from that. You know, Lattimore a couple of years ago, I believe, was all 4, and I think he had more soft tissue damage, you know, to the cartilage and that kind of stuff. So, you know, Lattimore's injury was even worse, and, you know, that pretty much was his career. Chubb seems to have the fact, I guess, that the PCL hung in there.
Yeah.
Maybe it's given him more tightness upon his return. I'm not sure, but Nick Chubb post-injury is still an amazing football player.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's been able to have 2 fairly high volume years back to back post injury, I'm jumping back in the water. I'm buying back into Nick Chubb.
Yeah, good to hear. Good to hear.
And then you got Michelle, who
shared a backfield with him.
It's sort of ironic that he's now got injury concerns, because what's wonderful about him is that he's so low mileage.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
He hasn't had that primary workload ever. He's been, I'm going off the top of my head here, so forgive me if I'm off by 20 carries or so, but he's been in that 170, 150 carry a year area. And, you know, I think NFL teams like that.
Yeah, pretty fresh feet.
You know, I mean, you can argue that he's never proven that he can handle the workload. I'm willing to take that. This guy's strong, tough. I don't think he'd have a problem carrying it, you know, 240 times in the NFL.
Yeah.
Hopefully, whatever the injury concern is, proves to be not a big deal.
You know, with so many quarterbacks going to be going early in the draft, where do you see a guy like Geis or Chubb or Michelle falling in the draft?
In terms of number or location?
I'm thinking like in the draft, you know what I mean? So second, third round?
I think all these guys become viable once we get passed around pick 20. I think they all probably go somewhere in the last third of the first or first half of the second, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like when you're in a fantasy draft with quarterbacks, the longer the first guys can hold off, the deeper the good guys last into the draft.
Sure.
So, it can play like that with running backs too. Maybe they all go in the second. Maybe somebody even slips into the third. I mean, you never know, because these NFL teams, just like us, they're going to be going, well, what's the worst thing that happens? We take Kerryon Johnson. You know, we take Rashad Penny. We take John Kelly. You know,
there's a ton out there. Yeah.
Right. I mean, I have legitimately 10 backs who I think are starting caliber. And by the way, you could easily make an argument for some guys outside the top 10, like Jalen Samuels if he was a full-time
runner. No, we talked about him at the top. I mean, that guy's going to be an NFL player, I have no doubt. Yeah,
I'm a big fan of Geis's backup, Darrell Williams.
Yeah.
You know, some people think Kalen Ballage is the next star running back. And, you know, I'm a little bit more iffy on him, but the talent is clear to see.
And Scarborough's still out there from Alabama. You know, that's a big player, big program.
He could certainly be an early down runner for some team in the – you know, like we said, the Crowell kind of blunt kind of role.
Well, the guy from BC that the Giants had there.
The guy whose name we couldn't figure out.
Still can't figure.
No, it's, what is it? Is Jason Williams or what is it?
No. This is 2 pods
Why
in a row.
Why did you just do that to me? Why did you just button hook me
I
like
know
that?
It's not Paul Perkins, that's for sure.
All right, let's just get off this for a second, please. Oh, you're killing me. No, I almost have to go.
No. Just keep going. I'll do it as you go.
So, you know, let's jump into the second tier now, because I know we're a little bit jammed for time on today's pod.
Yeah, well, we got Geis, Chubb, and Michelle was tier 2.
Right. Those guys are monsters.
Yeah.
And then Freeman's a guy. I guess the only 2 arguments I could make against Royce Freeman would be that he's got a ton of mileage. I mean, this guy's had just an immense amount of college carries. And then the one other thing, if you want to...
Andre Williams.
Yes, Andre. All right, I had the last name right.
Yeah.
Yes, Andre Williams, whose college film was intoxicating.
Yeah.
Just from a standpoint of the way he abused defensive backs on the second level.
Look, BC was a second-tier NCAA team. They did really well with him.
I remember talking about him when he came out and, you know, saying, this is a guy who would have been so good a decade ago.
Yes.
Or 2 decades ago. But in the new NFL, where they have to pass protect and they have to be able to catch and run routes, he just didn't have.
Yeah, not
that
so
stuff.
Much. Yeah.
So anyway, although his stiff arm was a thing of beauty.
Oh,
it's so funny. I can't remember
it's
his
like
name,
Earl Campbell,
but I can picture him in my mind like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
So anyway, where were we?
We were kind of cleaning up tier two and moving into the third tier, which is the running backs rated 5 through 10.
Right, Royce Freeman, I'm just to back up what I'm saying here. I'm looking up his stats right now. Yeah, 947 career carries. That's a lot of college
carries.
Yeah, that's
a lot. Yeah.
He had a 283 season back in 2015. 244 this past season. Mm. His freshman year, 252 carries.
Wow.
I mean, you don't see a lot of college freshmen get 252. Now,
and the Ducks used to throw the ball a lot. I'm a little surprised.
Well, to me, the big question about Royce Freeman is, why did he play his last 2 years of college football? Mm. If I'm his agent, he would have come out after year two.
Yeah, after 500 carries, right?
That's just me. Yeah. So good Freeman, question. I think, you know, clearly a guy who's proven to be able to handle the load. You know, he could lead a backfield right now if he had to. Kerryon Johnson out of Auburn. Not sure why he didn't run his 40 at the combine. I think he ran about a 4.54 at his pro day, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. He's got more than enough speed to be a running back in the NFL. And what's great about Kerryon Johnson is he's a tough player. He can pass protect. He can catch the football. Three down skill set. I could have easily moved him above Freeman and attached him to the first tier. He's just a really good running back.
Yep.
And you know, Ronald Jones. You know, a lot of people have Ronald Jones as like their second or third back, or at least before he got hurt at the combine, they did. You know, and it's so funny sometimes. I've heard a lot of people say, well, he didn't run as fast as I thought. It's like, dude, he got hurt in his run.
Yeah.
He barely finished the thing. You throw that number out, it's completely meaningless.
Right.
You know, this kid flashes sub 4.5 speed on film. I'd be shocked if a healthy Ronald Jones ran over 4.5. It would really surprise me. He's fast. It's right there on the film. The thing about him is I feel like he's still growing as a player.
Mm.
He's one of those guys where his rookie year won't tell the story. I think year two and three, you could see a lot from him. Hopefully he gets a good landing spot. I don't think he's going to be a volume runner, but sort of like Himes, if he gets the right type of share, he could have a lot of fantasy value.
Yeah.
Didn't catch a lot of passes at USC, but as I say in the article, you know, if Sam Darnold stopped looking downfield and remembered that he has a running back to throw to, this kid could have easily caught 20 more balls.
I was just
going to
say that. I'm wondering
if
having like the top quarterback in the country, you know, on your team helps his profile or hurts it. So that's my next question.
It could go either way, depending on the makeup of that quarterback. But Darnold's like Jameis Winston, as I've said. He likes pushing the ball down the field, and I have seen him throw into some coverage when he should have just put the ball to Jones. You know, on some level, you love it when your quarterback pushes the ball down the field. But, you know, Darnold's a guy who only had two full seasons of starts, and it shows sometimes.
Yep.
You know, it's not – no big deal. You know, if he was a fourth-year starter at USC, I'm sure he would have found Jones more often.
Sure.
Let's move down to Rashad Penny, who is in a lot of people's top four.
Yeah, he gets a lot of pub. I was seeing a lot of him on the draft.
And he should. Too. He's a very talented runner. I love the way he runs. He runs with heart. I wish he played the full game with that kind of heart. I don't like I hate him in pass protection. I stopped watching it. It's so tough to watch. Mm. And I don't like his route intensity. I feel like he jogs his routes too often.
Mm.
So sometimes a lot of the time, he strikes me as a player where when he's not the primary focus of the play, he's not as intense.
Mm.
I don't like that.
No.
Now, is that the kind of thing where the light could come on as a pro when all of a sudden, you know, his paycheck is involved? Yeah, maybe. You know,
or he gets around the right people and the right program. It could change a little.
As I've said about other guys, he needs to find his football Jesus. And he needs to find him fast.
Mm.
Because if he pass blocks and blocks for his teammates and runs his routes the way he did at San Diego State in a pro camp this year, he's not going to be playing much as a rookie.
Mm.
So that's why he's, you know, maybe ranked a little bit lower than his talent suggests he should be ranked. But he's still in my top 10. He's still a guy I have immense amount of respect for as a talent. And if he ends up being a big-time pro, would not surprise me one bit.
Those are important factors, though. You know?
Yeah, well, they are, especially
we're just talking
early.
About Jeremy Hill at the beginning of the podcast, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, Hill, I didn't have that problem with so much at LSU. His problems at LSU were more off-field kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I know the coaching staff definitely, you know, had to light a fire under him. But, you know, maybe it's like you said, he needs the right people.
Yep.
You know, I think the fire worked when it came to what he did on the field. I liked his film at LSU. But, you know, look, it's just human nature, right?
Yeah.
Like salesmen. We don't just pay salesmen a flat fee. There's commissions for a reason.
Go get it, yeah.
You know, we want it. You know, it's a carrot and a stick.
Yeah.
So you know, some guys need that carrot, and maybe you're right. Maybe what he needs is the right environment and a coaching staff that'll push the right buttons.
Yeah.
But he's definitely got the talent, and I'm a fan. And when it comes to running the rock, he's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
I generally prefer wide base runners. He's a narrow base runner, but yeah, that's getting nitpicky. The guy can run the football. Now. Speaking of wide base runners, the next guy, John Kelly.
This guy's interesting based on what I read here.
I love this guy.
Yeah, John Kelly, Tennessee.
He's so good when it comes to, I mean, he just does everything well. There's nothing he doesn't do well. Now, is he fast? No. And he's interesting in that he showed up at the combine heavier than you thought, and then he ran slower than you figured.
Hmm.
Probably those things are related.
I think.
Yeah, I think what this kid needs to do is find his optimal weight and stick with it.
Mm.
I think some backs do that. They don't want to be pigeonholed as a small back, so they come into the combine heavy.
Bulk up a little bit, yeah.
And then they don't perform as you might expect. Mm. I think Kelly's probably a guy who should play, you know, about 210. You know, Rex Burkhead weight. And Burkhead's the guy I compare him to. If you look at his skill set, he destroys linebackers with his routes. He runs incredibly fundamentally sound. He can get low to win the leverage battle.
That's important.
But he can also stiff arm you, spin off you, just stop, start, cut away from you. He can string cuts together, but he can also be a one cut and go guy. He really has got a wonderful combination of skills. I was tempted to move him up. But the bottom line is this tier is really tight, and I don't have separation between 10 and 5. These are just six running backs who I really like.
Yeah.
And order them however, you know, to our listeners, order them how you like. These guys are all really good.
You might be able to get him at a value if he's like, if the perception of him is like that,
right.
It's more like 10 or 15 or something, then you're the money.
We'll have to see what the NFL thinks of him.
Yeah.
You know, maybe his combine puts enough teams off where he slides into that fifth, sixth round area.
Mm.
I don't think he should.
Mm.
But if he did, then he becomes perhaps a dynasty steal in these drafts because he'll conceivably slip maybe even out of the second round for all we know. And then, gosh, he could really be a find. But the problem is when you slip that late into the draft, you're vulnerable to getting drafted and being stuck behind Todd Gurley or Zeke Elliott or, you know, some monster like that. So he definitely could get into that luck of the draw kind of situation. But from a talent perspective, John Kelly just, I think he's a big-time running back.
Got it done in the toughest conference, too. Yeah. I mean,
Right, exactly. And they're doing something right with the running backs of Tennessee.
Yeah.
These guys are, you know, pretty good fundamental football players the last couple of years. So, you know, Kamara last year, Kelly this year, like these guys.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good little target there to think about, John Kelly, and a guy you're not hearing a ton about, which we always like to focus on this guy.
I hope it's posted later today. The sit down I had with Elliot Crist yesterday, Elliot has him ranked 4.
Ooh.
That was inspiring for me. I almost moved him up to 5 or 6.
Yeah.
But I'm like, nah, he's Elliot's guy. I'm gonna leave that for Elliot. But I like him almost that much.
Yeah, that's good to know.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's nice when someone you respect sort of flips your scouting report right back in your face.
Yeah.
And he basically said all the stuff I think about Kelly as well. So
that's good.
So that's now me, Coach, and Elliot all sort of feel the same way about this player. So
sold.
Call it confirmation bias, but, you know, safety in numbers sometimes. So this is a player I really like. I think he's going to shock some people if he gets a chance. Jalen Samuels tops off the next tier.
This is the fourth tier.
Tier four,
running back.
It feels like tier three because we gave Barkley his own tier.
Yeah, but, you know, it's the fourth tier, 11 through 16. with a lot of talent here. So we at the kind of at the top of the pub, and a little bit yesterday talked about Jalen Samuels. We'll probably talk about him more tomorrow when we do the tight ends, because yes, he's kind of a mixed bag of both, of all of them, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And again, I'd love to see the Patriots find a way to get their hands on this guy without overpaying, because he would just be so great in their scheme. Again, where you don't know what he is when he's in the huddle, you're not sure what he is.
Yeah.
Is he a running back? Is he a tight end? Is he an H-back? Is he going to slot? He can do all these things. So to have a guy like him on a team that already has Burkhead and Gronkowski and Julian Edelman, you know, all the route diversity and positional diversity that you get with all these players, the Patriots' ability and Brady's ability to find the matchup pre-snap is just going to be through the roof.
Yeah. Now he's got Patriot written all over him. He's
really
intriguing.
Does.
Yeah,
he really does,
and particularly with the needs they have. Look at the Gronk saga. You know, keeps kind of developing, and I think they're going to be looking at tight end. It might not mean it's this guy, but if they can get this guy in some context and use him as a weapon, as I said yesterday, don't think so myopically when you think of the Patriots. They lose a tight end, they have to get a tight end. They lose a receiver. They don't think that way.
And clearly, he can't replace Gronk in any way.
No, God no.
Because you're talking about a 30, 40 pound difference in terms of size. And, you know,
more than that. And then, like,
Jalen Samuels can't go play in line.
More than a half a foot. But I'm just talking about talent and diversification that you can use on your offense.
I'm just saying, if Gronk is traded on draft day, Patriots need to draft a real tight end.
Oh, yeah. Well, then we'll get into Hurst tomorrow, you know?
Well, that's where I don't even know if Hurst can replace Gronk, because I don't know about Hurst in line, to tell you the truth. Mm. Hurst is, to me, mostly a guy who's going to be a detached joker kind of guy. I mean, he'll block for you in space, and I mean, you know, like the Giants did with Ingram, you can stick him there on the end of the line. He'll battle for you, but you know,
Who's the next kid? Is the kid from South Dakota State that's the tight end that people?
Goddard's another guy who I think is more receiver than blocker. Mm. You know what? This is tomorrow's
show.
Say
that for tomorrow.
Let's not go down this rabbit hole right now.
Yeah.
But let's keep going down this list. Now, Mark Walton, who's the guy I have ranked after Samuels, you know, he's a guy I easily could have pushed down or up a couple spots depending on what kind of mood I'm in. I love the talent. This kid's got incredibly light, quick feet, soft hands, runs wonderful routes. He can just, you know, like Burkhead and Kelly and Barkley, he can destroy linebackers in space. But he's a little bit small. He's not particularly fast, and he makes a lot of shaky decisions when he runs the football. Mm. He grab bags and goes in reverse too often when he doesn't like what he sees.
Guy like that can run himself onto the bench when you do that. Yeah,
exactly. He's a guy who's going to chalk up a lot of 3-yard losses. Not my style of runner. But having said that, if he goes to the right team that can get his head on correctly, he's got the talent to maybe be a star, you know?
Mm.
He's one of those, he's got a really wide spectrum of outcomes. I think the right coach, the right scheme, and a good offensive line, and it could be like, wow, Mark Walton, how you doing? Like, say the Cowboys drafted him and Zeke Elliott went down. It could, you
just
know, this
take
kid
go
could,
over.
Right,
yeah.
This kid could just like explode onto the scene. You know what I mean?
Or he could be a frustrating fantasy owner. If he messes up and you're like, this guy's talent, get him in the game. You
know? And as a rookie, that probably wouldn't happen for the reasons I've said. But maybe in a year, you know, if for some reason he found himself in a good situation, he's the kind of kid who could pin the needle and knock it out of the park.
Mm.
So again, you know, definitely depending on what kind of league you're in, depending on what the situation on your dynasty roster is, could become a compelling pick in the second round if he doesn't slip too far.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Good stuff. That's Mark Walton from Miami.
Yeah, just went for the water there.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm talking a lot. You need to refresh.
Kalen Ballage next on the list.
So this is the guy we talked about a little bit earlier that people seem to really like in terms
of... Some people love this kid.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I see all the tantalizing things. He's big. He's fast. He catches the football really well. You know, his route work is really impressive. He's got really quick feet for a running back. He could be one of these next generation running backs that we talk about where, you know, he runs the football, but he also can be split out and do all these different kinds of things.
And he's big, man. He's 6'1", 228.
He's way big. The problem is he doesn't play big. Mm. He plays really small. Terrible in pass protection. Doesn't really block for his teammates in the way that I'd like to see him block for his teammates. So there's a disconnect between the measurables and the things you see on a highlight reel and the things that you see on a down-to-down basis. Mm. You know, he's sort of like that baseball player where you love him when he plays against your team, but then he gets traded to your team and you see him for 162 games and you're able to pick out all the flaws.
J.D. Drew.
Yeah, okay, J.D. Drew. Good. There you go.
Yeah.
So you had it right there. Yeah. All I had to do was load it up. Right. So, you know, to me, he's got that kind of potential. And I don't want to kill the kid because I don't know him from Adam, and maybe he's going to be the next great thing. He's got the talent to do it. I just see, you know, I see a bust.
Some red flags.
Yeah, to me, he's got bust potential, but he's also got a huge ceiling.
Well, put it this way. At his size and at his skill set, and he's ranked, you know, 14th in your rankings. There's a reason for that. Those other things are problematic. We talked at the outset at the changing dynamic of the position and the league and where it's going. Those are important things.
Yeah, like, you know,
you got to pass protect.
DeMario Richard is a guy I really liked. I love the way he runs, but he's too slow. Yeah. I was hoping he'd run a 4.6 at the combine. He came in 4.7. That's just too slow for a guy his size. But when you think about the fact that Arizona State's coaches couldn't keep Richard off the field, he was getting all of Bilodeau's carries. Mm. That's not good.
There's a reason for that, and that's at the college level.
Exactly. So, you know, to me, Bilodeau, I think I said it in the article, I'd be tempted to think a position switch with him. I would be tempted to say maybe this guy should just go to tight end right now, and let's just turn him into a joker tight end. Let's see if we can turn him into Dustin Keller. Hmm. You know, hopefully without the massive knee injury.
Yeah, he's a productive player for a while.
Yeah, well, so, you know, so, and, you know, maybe Bilodeau wouldn't be upset with that for all the reasons we got into with Jalen Samuels. So that's my take on the player. I know there's a lot of smart people who think he'll be a great running back, and you know, I could see it. There's just too many plays where he doesn't hit the hole right.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I want a more intense and more... What's the word I'm looking at? He doesn't diagnose quick enough for me. Mm. He doesn't read it quick
enough.
Doesn't
process
for me.
It well.
And sometimes he just picks the wrong hole. And
league is fast, man. The NFL, defenses in the NFL are fast. Right. And it's not like it used to be like 20 so years ago, you'd have to like throw in different looks, lots of nickel, lots of dime to get speed on defense. It's not like that anymore. I mean, the defensive ends are fast, let alone the linebackers. You know what I mean? So you got to be able to be decisive and process the game quickly.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously one of the best running backs in the whole league is the king of waiting. You know, I mean, Le'Veon Bell is so patient.
Yeah, he's like almost, on a time delay.
Right. So, you know, it can be done, and this guy's got Le'Veon Bell kind of height, but he's not Le'Veon Bell, okay? But, you know, I'll tell you the one running back that kept popping into my mind when I watched Bilodeau's film, and I watched a lot of it. It was Latavius Murray, who's, you know, also a real big back, who's fast.
Not Murray's a compliment actually, coming from you.
Well, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with Latavius Murray. Sometimes I really like him. And he actually ran well at times last year. But Bilodeau has that same kind of thing where sometimes I see it and then sometimes I don't. Now, he's not as fast as Latavius Murray in terms of straight-line speed. But by my eyes, he's a lot quicker than Latavius Murray in and out of breaks. But he's like Latavius Murray in that he's got good hands. So, you know, he could end up having a Latavius Murray kind of career, or maybe if he finds the right coaching staff that can teach him up, he could end up being something special. It's, again, another guy with a wide range of outcomes.
Yeah, but that, you know, there's room in the league for guys like that. So a guy, don't be afraid to.
He's getting drafted, and he's going to be in camp, and I'd be shocked if he didn't make a team.
Yep.
You know, what he is as a rookie, I have no idea. And, you know, how he's going to be deployed long-term. Again, we're going to find out when a coaching staff gets their hands on him.
All right, let's finish out the tier, and then we'll wrap it up. There's a couple guys I want to get to. I want to get to Bo Scarborough, and you talked a little bit about Boston Scott. So the other guy in the tier is Darrell Williams from LSU. Another biggie, 6 foot, 229.
Yeah. I'm a big fan. He's one of these guys where Fournette was there, so he didn't get a lot of time.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Geis was there, and he didn't get a lot of time. But in the limited times where he filled in for Geis, he looked real good, real good. And the thing about this kid is he's a little on the slow side, but he plays a little bit faster on games. I think he carries his pads really well. So I think the 4.72 didn't shock me, but I think he's a little bit faster than that.
Yeah.
Additionally, he's obviously a huge kid. He's got big hands, and he can catch the football really well. He's got loose hips. You know, he's good in pass protection. You know, this is a kid. Excuse me. He doesn't really have big hands. That was not true. But to me, he could be a lead
back. Everything else.
Yeah, he's got a three-down skill set, and if he went to the right team that gave him an opportunity, he could be a real good NFL player.
And low
player.
Mileage, too. You know, with Geist there, he's...
I'd like to see him go to a team like Carolina, where he could be a puzzle piece in that backfield. He could be the big back when they want a big back, when they want to get away
from
McCaffrey.
That's how they've done it for a long time in Carolina, yeah. so that would be seamless for him.
So he'd be a fit there. And so would Bo Scarborough, by the way.
Yeah.
He'd be a good fit there. Boston Scott, well, we already talked about him. Tiny, but 203 pounds.
He's a little tank.
He's a fire hydrant with agility. So definitely a guy I'm really interested to see where he's going to get taken. And then we hit Philip Lindsay early in the draft, too. This kid from Colorado, 5'7", 190. I am mind blown that this kid didn't get invited to the combine. I guess it's because he's an older prospect. But he ran like a sub-4.4 on one of the scouts' watches at his pro day. Wow. Now, I don't see that kind of speed on film, but he's fast, and he's really freaking quick. I mean, this kid gets in there and makes subtle lane changes in tight space. He's that rare, sort of like Deion, where, yeah, he's tiny. He doesn't belong between the tackles, but for some reason, he's comfortable in there. I'd love to see the Patriots grab this guy in the seventh round as the next Deion Lewis.
Might he be there?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Absolutely. I think he could go anywhere from, say, the sixth to the high priority undrafted free agent.
The other guy I want to get to, Pete, before we wrap it up, and we got to wrap it up pretty shortly.
Sure.
I'm always amazed when I see such big programs like Auburn, when you get two guys that are drafted.
Cameron Petway.
Yeah. I mean, because, Kerryon Johnson's a hell of a back from Auburn. We talked about him earlier.
Yep.
But what do you see in Petway? 6 foot 235 is a big man.
He's a big bumbler kind of back. I think he's definitely going to have a role as a power back somewhere. Not super fast, but that's not his game. He's got pretty good all-around skills. He's sort of like a poor man's Darryl Williams.
Okay.
Coach likes him probably even a little more than I do, which maybe means we should like him a little more than I do. Definitely one of these guys where I think on a typical year he'd have maybe some buzz, but with this draft class, it's hard to break through and get people talking about you when the top 10 looks like this.
All right, I got to wrap it up, but I can't let this go without talking about the 25th guy in Tier 5, Chase Edmonds from Fordham.
Yeah, do you know him?
I just know a little bit about him because it just stuck out like a sore thumb that he was from Fordham.
Not a hotbed of running back talent.
No, so give the listeners a little bit about this guy.
Well,
and could he make it in the draft?
I watched all the film available on him. I think it was about four games. And the one thing that stood out to me and to coach is that he's the best player in the field. And it was clear.
Yeah.
Every game I saw him play, he was the best player in the field. Now, he's a little undersized, and he's not super fast, and he didn't play against big-time competition.
Right.
So, this is the kind of guy who could conceivably slip through the draft, go in the seventh round or something like that.
It'll be a UDFA.
Yeah, but when we talk about, running backs where if he gets a chance somewhere someday...
Yep.
Wouldn't surprise me if this kid did really well. Like Justin Forsett, where
he had a good career.
Right. He bounces around the league, never really gets a shot, but he's always on a roster somewhere.
Yeah.
And then when he's 28 years old, the guy in front of him goes down and he's starting and everyone's going, where the heck did this guy come from?
Yeah.
He could be that kind of guy.
Interesting. All right, so Pete's article is up, if not now, shortly on the running backs. Pete and I are going to be back podcasting about the tight ends. That's a very top-heavy class, so it'd be fun. We can do it quick, and we can really get down deep into some of these guys. And then the draft is Thursday.
If the Patriots want a tight end, they're going to be able to get one.
All right, sounds good. All right, Pete and I are going to sign off now, and then we're going to be back tomorrow with the tight ends, and the draft is on Thursday. Enjoy it, people.